yet, and my wife Amy and my son David and I have journeyed on a long road, a good road, but a long one, and we arrived here just about a week ago. Actually, it was a week ago today, I think, that we arrived. No, 2 weeks ago. That's right. Time flies when you're having fun. And we're all settled in our house, and we have been so warmly welcomed and received both by members of the church and by our neighbors on Manor Lane, and I just want to say thank you for welcoming us into your community, into your homes, and we greatly look forward to this next season of life and ministry together. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Jim Montgomery and all the members of the search committee. It has been a joy and a pleasure to make this discernment with them, and to talk with them and pray with them, and to discern the Lord's will for myself and my family and for St. George's together. So I commend them for the work that they have done. And I'd also like to thank Pat McKenzie, the senior warden, and the members of the vestry for all the hard work that they have done to work with the church and to prepare the church and their dedication and leadership over the years. And I do, Pat, thank you for all that you have done to welcome us here and the work you have done. So thank you all very much. Well, as I was thinking about what to say on my first Sunday here, I was, I just want to come out of the gate and say that whatever happens over the next few months and years together, whatever comes from our ministry, our life of service in this parish, in this city, and in this community, I really have one ultimate goal. And my goal, my heart, my desire, and my prayer is that each and every one of you will know with greater assurance and clarity and strength the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That my focus, my life, my work, and my ministry here is to ensure that at the end of however long a time that I'm with you, and I do hope it is a good long time, that at the end of that time, that each of you will be able to say that I know, trust, seek, and understand Jesus Christ more so now than I did however many years ago it was. That's what I told my congregation, not my congregation, but you know what I mean, in Houston before I left. I said, I wanted my time with you to be focused on Christ. And I want to leave Texas knowing that you all see and know him better for my having been here. And that is my desire for St. George's. Now, there's other things that are going to happen, obviously. But if that's not the goal, then I'm wasting my time. But that is the goal. And I look forward to that ministry with you all. You know, it reminded me when I was interviewing for this calling, I was here in Dayton visiting the church and meeting with people, and we, the search commission and I, sat down at a round table, and they were giving me the third degree and asking me about what my vision, my thoughts, my plans for the parish would be, and I was answering their questions, and at one point, I'll never forget this, Jeff Waymeyer said, you know, Ben, listen to everything that you're saying makes me think of something that Thomas Cranmer wrote about. And for those of you who don't know, Thomas Cranmer was the Archbishop of Canterbury in England in the 1540s and 50s. And he wrote the first English prayer book and wrote the Articles of Religion. He's one of my personal heroes, in fact. And Jeff said, I'll never forget this, he said, it sounds like what you're talking about is what Cranmer described as a true and lively faith. And I sat there and I said, Jeff, that's exactly what I'm getting at. That's exactly what I want in my own life and in the life of those that I'm working and ministering with, is a true and lively faith. And it's very fitting that our reading today from the New Testament, this microphone is driving me insane. I hope it's driving you nuts too, watching me shift with it. but that's okay. You can't hear me. Okay, I'll talk louder. That's never a problem. Far be it for me to spend this time of the sermon talking about myself. I want to talk a little bit about faith, because this reading from Hebrews chapter 11 is referred to as the great chapter of faith, isn't it? It's called the Hall of the Heroes of Faith, and in it is sort of a who's who of the Bible. We have in these short verses mention of Enoch and Abel and Noah and Abraham. And all of these people who did wonderful and amazing things by faith. And this, what does this passage tell us about faith? It says a couple things, doesn't it? It says right out of the gate, what is faith? It is the hope of things unseen and the confidence or assurance of things hoped for. And it goes on to say that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And yet, by faith, these people did amazing things. They defied death. Enoch was taken from the earth. They built huge boats in their backyard. At the time, for no apparent reason. I knew a guy once who did the same thing. It wasn't quite the size of the ark, but he built a boat in his backyard. And then never sailed. I'm not kidding. That's a true story. Anyway, I don't know if that was by faith or not, but amazing things by faith. But here's the question. What is faith? Hebrews says that faith is the assurance of things unseen and the surety of things not of things hoped for. But is that all it is? You know, there's a great scene in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. I'm a big fan of movies, as you'll soon discover. Where he's looking for the Holy Grail, and he's passing through this temple. You know, if you've seen the movie, you can nod. That'll make you feel better. And he has to pass through three obstacles. And the final obstacle, he's got his little map, and it says, only out of the leap of the lion's head will the worthy man pass. And he's standing before this bottomless chasm that's about as wide across as from me to the font. And he says to himself, nobody can jump this. And he says, it's got to be a leap of faith. And so Indiana Jones closes his eyes, puts his hand on his heart, puts his foot out in front of him, and steps forward. And lo and behold, there's a bridge there that he had never seen before. And he's able to walk across and get to the Holy Grail. And you can watch the rest of the movie to find out what happens. That's a leap of faith, right? Where you close your eyes and you just go. Is that what faith is? You know, if I encouraged you all to close your eyes and walk into oncoming traffic on Far Hills Avenue, that wouldn't be faith. I think Webster's defines that as stupidity. So when we talk about the assurance of things unseen and the hope of things to come, that's true. The leap of faith. But that's not all it is. And I just want to say two things about faith and then I'm done. Because I know 11:30 is coming. I want to say two things about faith. First, that faith is it's a gift. Faith is not an emotion. Faith is not subjective. It is a gift that God gives graciously to those he loves. Paul tells us in the scriptures in Ephesians that for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, so that none may boast. And even this, that is the very faith we're talking about, even this is not your own doing. It is a gift. Faith is not something we generate on our own. And that's actually a good thing. Because when you're feeling up, you think, oh, my faith is good. But when you're feeling down, oh, my faith is not so good. And so we pick pigeonhole our faith into this up and down subjective experience. But the good news of the scriptures tells us that faith is not dependent on you. First and foremost, faith depends on God and his gift to you. And so whether you are up or down, your faith, because it is a gift, does not change. And you can rest assured on that. That's the first thing. Faith is a gift, not a feeling, an emotion, or something we conjure. Second thing, that faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed. I had a professor in seminary once tell me that, he told our class this, if you want to fly and you put your faith in your arms, you're going to be very disappointed. If you want to fly and put your faith in an airplane, well, that's a different story altogether. You see, faith by its very nature must have an object. You've got to put your faith in something. I've heard it said, I watched a movie once, another movie, called Dogma. It's a terrible movie, don't watch it. But in one scene, a character says to a group of others that, look, it doesn't matter what you have faith in, just so long as you have faith. And that sounds kind of deep and spiritual and good on one level. And I thought, okay, let me think about that for a second. I thought, it doesn't matter what you have faith in, just so long as you have faith. So what you're really saying then is faith is ultimately about me. And I got to tell you that if your faith is not in something outside of you, when the trials and temptations and slings and arrows of outrageous fortune come, and if that's the kind of faith you have, in other words, you just have it, it's not in anything, you just have faith, it's not going to do you much good in that hospital room. I can tell you that, because I've seen it happen. It's not pretty. But like Batman and Robin, when they jump out of the window ledge, they've got those little, you know, tension guns. You know what I'm talking about? When Batman and Robin go flying around the city. And they've got their guns and they shoot it out. And it has to grab onto something, doesn't it? And then they swing out of the window. Their little grappling rod has to have an object, something to grab onto, and our faith is the same way. We've got to have our faith latch onto something. And the gospel tells us that the object of our faith is not ourselves or the force or whatever, but Jesus Christ himself. He and he alone is the object of our faith. So faith is a gift given graciously by God to those who don't earn it or deserve it. And that same faith must have an object. And that object of our faith is Jesus Christ. And through that faith that connects us to him, we are granted righteousness and forgiveness. And I want to end on this. That faith, this true Christian faith, does things to you. Yes, it comes from outside of you. And yes, its object is outside of you. You're getting the kind of the drift that it's not really about you at all. I mean, it is, but it's not. It's really about God. Martin Luther said, in his commentary to the Romans, he said, oh, what a lively and viable thing this faith is. For it does not ask what needs to be done, because it has already done it. You see, by faith, people change. By faith, they stop doing the things that they ought not to do. And they start doing, maybe not right away, but by God's power and Holy Spirit, the things they ought to do. And you'll find that by faith, you are transformed and renewed and reoriented. And that's what our worship is about, isn't it? That we open God's Word. rightly oriented to Christ, and we break bread together, that we might be directed.